Calling Grass Nation. We are conducting an audience survey at gum.fm/touchgrass. And we want to hear from you so that we can keep making content you love.
You know this. We know this. There are ads on our podcast. Mm-hmm. We want to improve that experience. But in order to do so, we need to know a little bit more about you, our audience. This survey is quick, easy, and a free way to support this podcast. It'll take 2 minutes and you'll be helping us out so much by doing it.
Yes, so go to gum.fm/touchgrass to fill out our audience survey. That's gum.fm/touchgrass to fill out our survey. Thank you for using your precious time online to help us with our podcast.
We love you.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
You got mail.
Hi, I'm Elise Morales.
And I'm Millie Tamaris.
And this is
Go Touch Grass,
the podcast where we log in
so you can log off.
Millie and I are two chronically online comedians, and on this podcast, we break down the week in internet discourse, viral memes, TikTok trends, and niche influencer drama so that you can go do literally anything else with your time.
Anything else with your time. And if you like what you hear today and want to hear more, we got a Go Touch Grass Patreon already up and running with all of our test episodes, mini trending topics, a weekly newsletter, and our spin-off series Search History. We go back and break down a viral discourse from the past.
Absolutely. And don't forget to leave us a 5-star rating and review. We love reviews. We crave reviews.
We crave
more. We go
more.
To sleep thinking about reviews. We
all wake I want up is reviews.
Wanting more reviews. Please tell your friends about us. Word of mouth is the best way for other people to find. Like, my thing is, like, if someone tells me to listen to a podcast, I'm way more likely to listen to it than if
I just
hear about
it. Yeah, tell your friends about us. I mean, reviews are like you're telling people, like, hey, this is a good podcast.
Yeah.
Tell your friends. You guys have so much power, and telling your friends that, like, hey, there are these two mentally ill Hispanic women that are talking about the week's news.
It's very important. And please do bill us exactly that way. I found a podcast by two mentally ill Hispanic women.
Yeah, and then they'll be like, El Gordo y la Flaca, and I'll be like, kind of.
They'll say, do you want to support La Gente?
Mi gente Latino. Sorry, J-Lo. Let's get loud. And speaking of getting loud, our guest this week is a writer, actor, content creator, comedian, and genuine friend of both of ours, and probably enemy of the Kardashians. Give it up for Anna Reisman!
Oh my God! Wow. Thank you for having me.
We're so happy to
so
have you.
So honored to be
so
here.
So happy to have you.
Anna.
Yes.
You're very funny online.
Oh my God,
you're making amazing videos.
Thank you. Love you both. You're both very funny. I've done shows with these girls for 1,000 years.
I know. So we've been
videos, shows,
web series.
Music videos. You name it.
It's too much.
I know. I feel like we've been having a good run of true friend buddy episodes lately.
All
of our guests are our true friends. And
one enemy. I'm kidding. There's no enemy. Go back in the catalog and figure out who we don't like. I'm kidding. And we like everybody. On this podcast, we book people we like.
Yeah.
Can't save that for the past. Anyway, Anna.
Anna, you do great impressions.
I feel like you have popped off.
You do impressions of Sarah Silverman, Kris Jenner, and Ilaria Baldwin.
Yeah.
Speaking of mentally ill Hispanic.
Hispanic in quotes. Well, even
she counts.
Yeah.
I guess in the way that, like, people in Spain don't consider themselves Hispanic because they're from Spain.
They're Spain.
No, but when you identify as a Spanish,
yes,
it can be anywhere.
Yeah.
Como se dice, I'm Hispanic.
Yeah, como se dice, I'm a Latino woman.
Yeah, like some people get highlights and she gets an ethnicity, you know?
Yeah.
So on that train of thought,
yeah,
how are you feeling about the revelation that the Baldwins are getting their own reality show.
On TLC.
On TLC.
You know, I feel a little overwhelmed, you know. Yeah. I got a lot of DMs. People were like, you're hot, you got work to do. I'm like,
I thought of you immediately.
Yeah. Other people are like, are you going to be on the show? I'm like, no, Alec Baldwin blocked me on the internet.
I didn't even know that.
Blocked by Baldwin.
See, this is why we like to get people on, but to specifically ask them about their feuds. Because we found out, in the Claire Parker episode, we found out Busy Phillips hates
got mad at Celebrity Memoir Book Club,
and now we know Alec Baldwin
has blocked Anna
for her hilaria
for years now,
and hilarious.
I didn't even like seek that out. Like usually when I do an impression, I pick someone. I watch them a lot. I watch a bunch of YouTube clips. I buy a wig. I go crazy. You know, I study it before I do it. And I'm sitting here thinking of wow, there's two I really never put out the videos for, but one day. And with her,
that just came to you naturally.
People thought we looked alike. Wow. I mean, I see it. Yeah. We look alike. And I did that in, it's an 11-second video. I was in my pajamas, no makeup, nothing. The first one I ever did.
No, because I know you'd be putting effort in the latest ones. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But this is the first one. And this was the week that all those articles came out that her friends from high school were like,
Her name's Hillary.
Brother Jeremy. We all went to high school together, right outside of Boston. Outed her.
Yes, sorry. Because Alec Baldwin's wife, for people who don't know, mm-hmm. Let's go back a step before we take a step forward. Alec Baldwin, the guy who played Jack in 30 Rock, and he's been a lot in, I think he was The Shadow.
He's very sexy in Beetlejuice.
Had an amazing career.
Yeah. He's had an amazing career.
Lately, not as
not
good.
Really, no. No. But lately, not as he good. Has a wife who's way younger than him, and she always... she's like a yoga instructor, and she's tells people that she's from Spain.
Yes.
And she goes by Hilaria at Baldwin because they got married.
Yeah.
And that's her whole thing. She speaks with a thick Spanish accent. It goes in and out.
Yeah.
And what there were articles that came out a few years ago, less than 10 years ago, seven.
It was in the pandemic. It was 2020. Yeah, 2020.
It's possible to know when things happen.
Yeah, I know. My brain. And it came out that she was kind of doing a Rachel Dolezal situation. Oh, that's a good search history, Rachel Dolezal.
Yeah.
And she was, she's actually from Boston and her name is Hillary.
Yeah.
So what happened was when that was going on, you jumped on that and you're like, let me do an impression video.
I just did an 11-second story at first because I went to school in Boston. Mm-hmm. And so I literally flipped my hair and I was like, I too went to La Boston Universidad. And that's all I said. And people lost their minds. And then I put it on TikTok and it blew up from there. And here's the thing. I don't like doing her all the time. I don't like it. It's hard when you do something and it goes super viral and they're like, more, more, more.
Yeah.
And then you post other shit and they're like, in the comments, they're like, but we want more Hilaria. And I'm things.
I have to for my own sanity, also do other things. I feel like that is one of the social media traps that's tough is that when you go viral for one thing or one type of video or one character, people really just want you to do that again.
Yeah.
And I also feel like the algorithm knows when you're doing that or not and will
Because they all said in the beginning of the early viral TikTok days, they're like, find your niche. Mm-hmm. Everybody find a niche. And some niches people fall into. And I didn't want that to be the only thing I ever did.
Yeah.
And I never did videos. Honestly, she gave a lot of material. I never did anything that was out of the blue, except when I went to the Spanish Steps because I was like, well, I'm here in another fucking country.
Yeah.
But, I don't usually do a day in the life or get ready with me, unless she gives me something to play off.
Yeah, yeah, it's like if she's already in the news, whatever. And then it's so interesting because I hear you say that and you don't want to fall in the niche, but there are other people that I see who do comedy and who do whatever, and they get that one viral video and then they do lean into it. And then people, they get the backlash the other way where it's like, all they know how to do is this one thing. This person's a hack. All they do is this. And it's like, you can't win.
You can't
win. Damn.
It's lean in, but also make sure you stay true to yourself.
Yeah.
But then people are bitching either way.
Yeah, they really are.
A question for you, Anna.
What's up?
Have you ever heard of your impressions getting back to the person you're doing an impression of? Does the idea of that ever make you nervous?
Other than being blocked by Baldwin.
Well, Alec Baldwin saw it and he's like, I can't cheat on my wife with an impersonation. an impersonator.
He blocked me. No, and it's funny because all her video, the videos I've done of her in the early days, like they all got flagged. I got a lot of like warnings, like content flags on Instagram.
Wow. Are they saying like you're bullying?
Yeah. Like, they don't say what it's for. You just get like, you know, the flag. I've been fucking banned everywhere. I will say yes, some of mostly positive feedback when the people have seen my videos. Like for example, I talk about it in my live show, but I haven't like posted it online, but I've been in touch with David Eigenberg a lot, who is Steve on Sex and the City.
Yes.
Oh, cause you do a lot of Miranda.
I do a lot of Miranda. Yeah. And he got in touch with me months ago. And then we've talked recently. Cause I'm like, hello, they're shooting the new season. I've seen the TikToks of like, you know, the women running around the city, like all the paparazzi, like taking videos of like, they're like, they're shooting and just like that. So we've been in touch and he's very nice. And he's like, you're hysterical. I love it. You know, that's I'm like so the great. Opposite of him. So it's like probably very funny to him that like, who is this fucking like girl out running around and like with a basketball, like being me in the 90s.
Yeah. being like a younger version of me. Yeah. Well, you've got to collab with Steve.
I got to.
I'm putting it out into the universe.
I've never heard from the Kardashians. I'll say that. Khloe is the only one who has commented on my videos.
Oh, but you don't honestly, really do Khloe that much, do you?
No, I don't do any Khloe. I just do Chris.
Other one, Andrea does Courtney.
Yes, Andrea does Courtney.
But Khloe likes your...
Khloe was like the laugh, and I was like, oh my God, she has no idea that this one little comment like means the world to me.
Yeah.
I see Julia Fox is really like loves.
Oh, she's
you.
Very nice to me. Yeah.
She's really
nice. We texted for a while. We were gonna do a video together. And then she kind of ghosted me.
Okay. Ghosted by, blocked by Baldwin, ghosted by Julia Fox.
You know, like, I feel like one day, because she literally DM'd me and was like, here's my number, I'm never on here. And I was like, you're kind of on here a lot, but
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm like, I actually see you on here quite often.
You're literally texting me on here right now.
You're DMing me your phone number. Yeah. And we messaged about when her book came out. That was when we were going to do this video. And then she was like, I got to go to LA. She was too busy.
She got busy. And she's a mom.
And
she's Julia Fox.
She's Julia Fox. It'll happen. I believe it'll happen at some point. Because she's very cool. Like, she's very real.
And she's herself. We have a lot of overlap friends. And she's a big listener of this podcast.
Yeah, Julia, I know that you're listening. I mean, I will say that one time I did mention her in a video. It was, like, a different character video. But I just, like, mentioned her in passing. And she... commented on that video.
Yeah,
and
it was not like
a hugely viral video to the point where like I actually don't know how it got to her because again it was just on TikTok.
Yeah.
And like I do say her name, but Lord knows, but either way, she found
it. People
tag
me
her,
send it to her. Yeah, it's nice.
She hit me with a haha.
You know what? All we gotta do is get hit with a haha.
That's literally our entire lives is just trying to
get hit with a haha. Ha ha he. I love a he he.
Yeah.
LOL, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, Khloe Kardashian just gives a heart and I'm like melting on the fucking floor, you know?
That's great. We want so little. We'll never get houses, but we'll get a haha.
Okay.
And tell that, boomers. Have you gotten a haha?
Speaking of someone who's been getting tons of ha-has.
Okay.
Tons of ha-has, tons of hearts, tons of likes.
Mm-hmm.
Today's discourse, we are talking, for the first time on the podcast in depth, I think. I'm sure she's been mentioned, but we've never...
I feel like she was a grasshole.
Gypsy Rose?
Yeah, for my husband's dick.
I don't think she was grasshole.
She was some cursed content. It was cursed content.
Make me on.
You will find out.
You'll find
soon
out.
Enough.
And, and thanks. And if you're wondering if guests listen to our podcast before they come on, clearly they don't because Anna asked, "What's a grasshole?"
You guys are going to laugh at. I could count on two hands how many podcast episodes in my life I've listened to.
Wow. Like Anna, I'm constantly listening
Anna,
to podcasts.
This is not the propaganda we need on our podcast. So we're going to move
on.
But
I say that
Anna to listen to our podcast.
Anna, yeah. Anna, let's move on because we love podcasts and podcasts are an important part of media.
I love it. I have podcasts. I respect everything about them.
Okay. And let's end there and continue.
And what I'm getting at is today we're talking about Gypsy Rose Blanchard, a darling of memes and media. She does have a murder under her belt, but we all know,
you know
the
what?
Circumstances.
I've been a fan since the early days.
Yeah.
The mommy, dead, and dearest days.
Yeah,
the
exactly.
Act.
I feel like I've been like... I guess I just never realized, like, after watching all of this stuff, that she would get out and have this sort of, like, rich social media life.
You know what? And good for her, because the fodder was always there. I just have to say, from the January 8th episode with Namay, cursed content was Gypsy Rose being horny on Maine. But I will say that there's something, if you consumed any of the Gypsy Rose content, where you find out that she met a boyfriend online, was sexy while she was like, because the whole thing was like her mom, if you don't know about Gypsy Rose, her mom was Munchausen's by proxy.
Yeah.
So would say that she had all this shit, like get her really sick, put her through all these surgeries and all these medications and all this shit.
Feeding tubes.
Yeah. And this girl didn't need any of that. And she just did that to take people's money and get exploitation, and like would dress her up in like tiaras and stuff, and like, oh, and do her, like have her do make a wish thing. And when you find out that this girl, amidst all that, was in chat rooms, sexting, doing all that, got a guy, texted him, he killed the mom.
Yeah.
Then they went to a hotel, got Domino's, and fucked. I'm like, this girl's, it's kind of iconic.
It is.
And
iconic.
Then I'm like, and she's doing exactly what she needs to be doing.
Iconic it is, and we will go point by point through her romantic history.
Oh, sorry.
In a moment.
Sorry.
No, Millie, give the primer.
Give the primer.
But we're going there.
Oh, a post-jail romantic history.
Post-jail romantic history. Yes. So that was good.
That was good. Pre-jail.
That's the pre-jail.
Yeah, that was pre-jail. Post.
And, you know, she served up. She's been in jail for a long time.
She was in jail for a long time. But the reason that we're talking about her today is because new Gypsy Rose audio is going super viral on TikTok. Basically, every line of it is iconic. So we're going to play this audio right now.
I really love her voice, too.
She has a great voice.
Oh, honey, I am so not threatened by you. My man wouldn't touch you with a 10-foot pole. You're just mad because I have a Chad. And last time I checked, you don't have a man. So, looks like you're the one that's panini pressed. Call a spade, honey. Keep making content.
I have a theory about this.
Yep.
Well, I need everyone to know that this was filmed. She's wearing lingerie in this video.
Yeah,
she looks hot.
Yeah.
She looks hot.
She looks very good. She's got like, I guess she darkened up her hair.
Well, that was my question. Is this AI? Because isn't she blonde now?
No, she dyed her hair.
I think she dyed her hair brown, and now she's got this kind of cute little shorter cut going
back.
On.
Yeah.
I do think she's got.
She
some
debuted
filters.
The blonde with the nose job, and now she's like, okay, and we're back,
and we are so
a return to form.
So yeah, this audio is going super viral on TikTok. I can't really decide what my favorite.
Panini pressed is good.
Yeah, panini pressed is really
good. It's like honestly Donald Trump level.
Yeah, stay panini pressed.
The
10
foot pole.
Because I've got a Chad. I'm like.
You got a Chad. First of all, okay, it's crazy because Chad, that's really online. For someone who's been in prison, it's really impressive to be that online to know what a Chad is. Because again, this show's for our friends who are not that online. So maybe they don't even know what a Chad is. But do you know what a Chad is?
Chad is like an alpha male hottie.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's kind of
derogatory.
Like
and it's incel. It's because they always like, women don't want nice guys. They just want Chads who are stupid. And I'm intellectually superior. And like, everyone just wants a Chad.
Wasn't there a Chad on Gossip Girl? Or one of the actors? That's who I think of when they're like, a Chad.
I don't think there's any Chad on Gossip Girl. Isn't every guy on that show like 5'2"?
No, but there was an actor named
Chad, and so like he was like blonde, blue eyed, like
not Chuck Bass, right? That's something else.
No, the other one.
Chuck Bass is something else.
Guys, I'm trying to be cultured into white culture. You have to give me a break.
Chase Crawford? That's who I think of.
Chase Crawford.
Chase and Chad, you know.
Michael Murray.
We've got producer Andrew checking in.
Checking in.
He's clocked in, locked in, as the kids would say.
Yes. Also, he didn't even have to Google that. He knew.
But he's like,
I think it's called Chase Crawford. And it's like, no, this is just the wallpaper on your phone,
I just got a letter off.
The Yeah, so that's... Wait, no, hold on. That has nothing to do with this.
Nope. Okay.
And also, guys, incels aren't watching Gossip Girl. If they did, maybe they wouldn't be involuntarily
celibate. But I do think a blonde-haired, blue-eyed, hot guy named Chase is a Chad.
A Chad. Thank you.
So I do, it comes
sure, sure,
from
sure. Least, let's
thank
validate.
You for fucking backing me yeah, up.
Let's
here,
validate our guys. Guests. You're right. You're right. Let's not alienate our guests.
No, other even
though the guests
like...
alienated the form of podcast
no.
before we started.
I'm sorry. Unless you're Conan O'Brien.
Oh God. Oh, that's the podcast you listen to. Derogatory statement here. Okay, so she has a Chad.
So she has. I mean, according to her, she has a Chad.
Now.
Now.
Let's talk about it.
But okay. I do feel like the other iconic element of it is just like her demeanor where she does like the thing where she squints and she's like, and last time I checked, you don't have a man. I'm like,
yeah.
Like there's something about like the little sly, like keep making content. Where
right.
I'm like, what is going on?
It's a good audition tape for like a fucking really like basic bitch queen. I'm like, I put her on camera.
I just feel like as feminism and as things have progressed, it is not cool. Like, we're in the era of the girl's girl, where it is cool to be supportive, and, like, that's what's nice. And if you're mean to women, like, it's actually not cool. And also, like, which is a good thing. And we've also stepped away. There's a whole movement on decentering men and, like, yeah, you're like having a man is not like the only purpose a woman should have. So in those movements, Gypsy Rose is now doing completely the opposite of what is cool and is leaning into like one single shaming or being like, I am a man and you don't. And also doing the mean girl thing, which we've all established is not cool anymore. But it's charming on her because she was in jail for 10 years because she killed her mom. Yeah.
We all give her a break. We're like, well she's really like 17.
Yeah.
You know,
like,
she never got to do it.
Yeah, exactly. No, exactly. Because when they're like, what are you going to do after prison? She's like, I want to work at a Sephora. And you're like, yeah, great. Yeah.
Who's in video 2?
Exactly.
That is exactly where we're going.
Okay, good. Tell that was my question.
Tell us.
So obviously, so I saw this video, immediately was obsessed, and I was like, what is this about? Like, who is she talking to in this video? Who is Panini Pressed? Like,
Joe
we
Biden.
Need to know. It's Joe Biden, yeah. It's actually a political video. So this video was created as part of a larger beef that Gypsy Rose has going on with a TikToker named Flawless Nina.
Okay. All right. So,
get ready.
God, I hope I have the confidence one day to call myself Flawless
Nina. So Flawless Nina is a beauty influencer. She's got 162,000 followers on TikTok. So not like...
How many does Gypsy Rose have? She's like in the millions.
She had like 10 million and then she deleted it and then like came back and probably has like 7.
Yeah, I think she has like 3 or 4. It's got to be in the millions. So the thing is like... So Flawless Nina... I'm going to show... this is like a picture from Flawless Nina's page.
Flawless
This is Flawless Nina. And the thing about Flawless Nina is, though she does do makeup videos and she does her makeup in the videos, she's posting a lot about Gypsy Rose. All these
interesting.
Are
and this
about
is a beautiful
Gypsy
black
Rose.
Woman with blonde hair. We do need racial context.
Why? Yes. Wait, while she's doing, like, get ready with me and let's talk shit about Gypsy Rose.
Kind of, yes. She also often compares Gypsy Rose to Chucky and and calls her, like, Chucky Rose.
Interesting.
And like,
wait, what?
Yeah, there's
that's
a, there's
amazing.
A whole
well, Chucky's an ally.
I was gonna say, Chucky's as a huge, like, as a huge Chucky out. Fan, that's like kind of iconic.
You watched the show?
I didn't watch all of it. I saw like an episode or two, but I've seen all the movies.
Don't listen to podcasts. Watch the Chucky show.
So
interesting. It's just interesting how media consumption works.
I was like scrolling today as I was doing research, and it was. Since Gypsy Rose has been let out and a little bit before, it's an unbelievable number of Gypsy Rose related videos.
Wow.
There is also beauty content in there, and a lot of the Gypsy Rose related videos are also beauty content.
Wow.
But she's hitting the Gypsy Rose beat hard.
You gotta find your niche.
What does she hate about her?
She does not like Gypsy Rose for a couple of reasons.
Okay.
The big one. And we'll get more into this, like, we'll circle back around at the end. But the start of all of it is that she feels bad for the original guy who killed Gypsy Rose's mom because he's in prison for life.
Yeah.
And Gypsy Rose is out, and she feels like he also has like exonerating issues and like disabilities and like she doesn't think that he should be in jail. So like,
That's fair.
So it
and
is,
like murdering people, guys, we have to say it on the podcast. It's wrong.
Yeah, it's wrong. You shouldn't kill people.
It's a valid opinion, but I don't think. Anyway, I don't want to interrupt.
Well, you don't think that murders are wrong?
I don't think this girl, flawless Nina, I don't think has any idea like what Munchausen by proxy is. I'm not like sitting here defending Gypsy Rose, but I don't think she knew how to get out of that other.
Yeah, and I think she's also saying like. The guy shouldn't be in jail for life.
Yeah, I think she feels like she thinks the other guy should also get a little more leniency than life in prison because he also, like...
He was, like, manipulated into doing
this.
Yes. So that's kind of, like, the basics, and we'll go a little deeper into that in a bit. But recently, Flawless Nina's videos have been directed at Gypsy Rose's current boyfriend, Ken Erker. So now we're going to go through her post-jail romantic situation.
Yeah.
So we all remember that when Gypsy Rose got married in prison, she got married to this man, Ryan Anderson.
Yeah.
And we talked about it in Cursed Content.
Yeah, apparently he has a huge cock.
That he posted this cock selfie. Alert.
Which she never saw until she got
I'm sure she got a little. You can pay a little security guard at jail and get a little bit. That was a huge storyline in Love After Lockup, guys.
Yeah.
You can pay a security guard. They will let you fuck.
Comes on two shows after the Baldwins. This fall.
Love After Lockup is extremely ethically fucked up, so it is on the Oxygen Network. TLC will take the slightly fucked up
But Ryan Anderson is the one who was the subject of Cursed Content because he posted this selfie and then she commented, "Don't listen to the haters. Besides, they jealous. You are rocking my world every night. Yeah, the D is fire." So she's
That's why she got Cursed Content in January.
How come we never got t-shirts? Yeah, the D is fire. Like that was such a.
She should be really doing more merch.
More merch.
Now that she has Panini pressed and Yeah, the D is fire.
Guys, we just talked to Raleigh about how merch is ruining the planet. We don't need
Gypsy Rose Blanchard should do sustainably sourced merchandise.
Raleigh, reach out to... Raleigh, listen.
Maybe she should have a condom line.
Raleigh?
Yeah, the D is fire
condom. Wow. Yeah, the D is fire condoms. Gypsy Rose?
Gypsy Rose?
These ideas are for you.
Gypsy Rose? Khloe Kardashian?
Open invitation.
Julia Fox?
We take 20%, but have fun.
But enjoy it. Okay, but the thing is, she and Ryan Anderson divorced 4 months after she was released from prison, and it's kind of
Which was a lot, because he was all over that Lifetime doc, too.
Yes.
Like
you watched the doc?
I saw, like, a couple episodes, but it was like...
Yeah.
I wish I watched the doc. I gotta watch the doc.
He's a big part of it, like, their love affair and everything.
I know, but then you hear the reason why they broke up, and so
They broke up. Gypsy Rose did get a temporary restraining order against him, and a friend of hers said that, like, he was controlling and once screamed in her face.
Yeah.
He denies that anything, like, physically aggressive ever happened between the two of them, but they did split up.
So what I heard in an interview was that he snores a lot because he has bad sleep apnea.
I heard this, too, the snoring.
He farts a lot, and he hoards food.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
the selfie's
giving
that.
And he snores a lot. Farts a lot, hoards food, and it felt like the food thing, like hiding food from her and stuff, was like, she's like, I feel like I'm in prison again. And I'm like, babe, one of those things would get me to get a restraining order.
All together.
Farting, okay. Then the snoring, and then...
Yeah, I love a judge hearing that and being like, so he's farting and he's snoring and he's stealing food.
So he sounds like any other...
Stay away from this woman.
American man. Yeah. You could
legally stay away from her.
I know. I know.
So... Okay, she divorces Ryan. But here's the thing. Ryan Anderson was not Gypsy Rose's first prison engagement. Prior to Ryan Anderson in 2019, she was engaged to this other guy, Ken Erker. Mm. So when Ryan broke up, she starts being seen pretty quickly with Ken Erker, and now she's back together with Ken Erker.
I didn't know they were engaged. I thought they dated.
They got engaged in prison. She broke off that engagement. She gets back together with him. Reminder that neither of these men are Nicholas Gojohn, who is the guy she met online who and convinced to help her kill her mom. And,
no, none of these guys.
He's very in jail for life.
He's in jail for life. She's like, she was seen in the gas station, like at a 7-Eleven smoking cigarettes outside with Ken. Right after the divorce announcement. And, you know.
This was like calculated, it felt.
Yeah. So I just, our last episode, we had a moment of silence for Alice the Fish. Right now, I want to take a moment of respect for Gypsy Rose's online game.
Yeah.
Because it's really unbelievable. So just like a moment of respect for that. I sent respect to Gypsy Rose.
Yeah, no good vibes. Well, yeah.
Because I, you know, I'm married now, but dating I had my struggles. Dating is very hard.
Dating is hard.
And Gypsy Rose is pulling, she's trapped places. Mm. And she's pulling, getting boyfriends saying, kill for me. And they're doing it.
She's got good game.
Yeah.
Like, I have so many friends who are like, you know, not in jail. And they're like, dating's so hard. I hate this place.
I'm like, and it's like Gypsy Rose could do it from jail.
Yeah. I'm like,
and your friends are probably hotter.
That's a fucking hero. Okay. Like, look at her. She is somehow in some chat room meeting a man.
Yeah. You know what? And that's a good lesson for all of us is like, let us have the confidence of Gypsy Rose.
Yeah.
Who also, like.
Play the game a little bit. You know, go online and be someone you might not be in person.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm a good catfish.
Oh, you don't know what to say to people on the apps? Look at Gypsy Rose.
Gypsy Rose saying a lot. Okay?
Gypsy Rose is saying, I'm dressing up as Harley Quinn. You're dressing up as a Joker. We're killing my mom. We're going to Arby's after.
We're going to Arby's and we're getting Domino's and you're going to fuck me a hotel.
Yeah.
Listen. Going to Domino's and getting fucked in a hotel, that's a lot of guys' fantasies.
Yeah.
You don't need much.
She probably dangled that sex for months. She's like, we'll have sex after it happens.
But you gotta follow through though. Yeah. That's the thing.
And she does.
And that's the thing. It's like, oh, this and that, whatever. Go to a hotel, get fucked after and eat Domino's.
So back to Flawless Nina. So Flawless Nina has been posting negatively about Ken, who she says is a homewrecker who lacks integrity. She also said he's a bad Christian.
Oh, God.
And that he's using Gypsy Rose's money to buy himself a bar. Now, I cannot figure out if she, like, knows him personally.
Yeah, it sounds like she has some kind of connection.
Yeah, I was like, this seems really specific about this guy, but it does not seem to be that. I think that she just really follows everything that's going on in the Gypsy Roseverse. And she does not
get under her skin. Like, she's like, I'll do anything.
She found her niche. Gypsy Rose, everything that Gypsy Rose posts probably goes, like, completely viral. She has 10 million followers without trying. Then anybody making hate content is going to go pop off.
Yeah.
So and then she got to start making shit up. I mean, not making shit up, but, like, she's going to whatever. That's interesting that she would say he's a homewrecker. I was like, oh, we're going to find out that Ken's racist or like has a mysterious like thing. I mean, I don't know. White guy from Louisiana. Like,
I was going to say she's saying it because she got back with him right away. Like, it's marriage ended versus them dating again.
That's got to be what it's based on. I really.
But homewrecker.
I do have to tell you, it's such an enormous volume of videos that it was impossible for me. As much as we're like, we will watch all the videos, it's not possible for one person to watch all
the
videos.
That's crazy that someone can go that hard on like, just rip on some. And it's like they get off on it, you know?
Well, I mean, in Flawless Nina's defense, you're blocked by Alec Baldwin for making fun of his wife. So let's just, it's not.
That was in the early days.
Girl, you did that 2 weeks ago. You're like, how can someone just make their whole TikTok making fun of one person?
I always try and say with impressions, if I was the one someone's doing an impression of, would I find this funny? And if it's so mean, then like no. But like if it's just like they're like caricatures, you know? This girl is on there being
she's like,
fuck
you're
this
Nikki.
Bitch and her homewrecker boyfriend.
Yeah,
whatever.
You're like, morally like judging people and all that stuff.
So okay, Urker has. I guess Gypsy Rose and Ken Urker are aware of these videos because Gypsy Rose is super online, as we established. And so Ken Urker, I guess, like addressed what is being said by Flawless Nina on a TikTok live. And he called Flawless Nina obsessed and a bully.
Yeah.
So Flawless Nina then responded, and I'm going, we're going to play Flawless Nina's response.
Good, because I have to see this girl talk.
And Ken and Gypsy, wow, you let your man on the internet talking big smack about me and Kate. Let me just check your man real quick. And you should be very embarrassed about this. So your man was on Natasha's live, correct? Did he not say this?
He said what he does for work. He works at a bar. He invited Nina to come for a drink.
That's me.
Yeah, Nina, I will.
He doesn't have a girlfriend. He broke up with his girlfriend.
It's a mutual separation, but yes.
At this time, they were claiming they weren't in a relationship. Ken was all in my comments on my lives. Nina, I love you. Blah, blah, blah. I love your content. Da, 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 da. Talking like big stuff, right? When I stated that I would never go to a bar that he was working at, just because, I mean, I feel like it's not appropriate. And I just wouldn't entertain that. Because I'm a grown woman. Like, this is the internet, right? I guess his little ego got hurt and he flipped the switch, right? And blocked me. So, Gypsy, really, your man wanted me. And everybody kept saying it. And I was like, no, it ain't like that. I'm who your girl wants to be, baby. Okay? So, that's the real tea. That's the real tea. So, stop playing on these TikTok streets because you don't want me to spill the beans. Don't do it. Don't do it to yourself. I'm waiting on it. You ready to play? Let's play. I'm ready. When are you ready? Gypsy, because your man wanted me real bad. Gypsy, you should be embarrassed. But I don't want the DD special. I'm good on that love.
Okay. Wow. So a lot of tea was spilled.
I know. Well, the thing that got me is that she said spill the tea and then spill the beans. And it's like, is it beans or tea?
She also tried to end that like 10 times.
As a comedian, we know what that's like. Where you're like, these people are going to finish, right? And then you're waiting backstage. Sorry.
So I guess... just to like work through it together. So the story is, because she's been posting these videos. So I guess before Ken and Gypsy got together, when they were still in a stage of saying they were not together, maybe during the gas station cigarette picture era.
Okay.
He was commenting on Flawless Nina's lives. He invited Flawless Nina to a bar that he works at, which is referenced in this live.
Do they live in the same town?
That's a really huge question.
I wouldn't be surprised because aren't they like Louisiana? It's like Louisiana, New Orleans
area.
Yeah,
I know Ryan Anderson was in Louisiana.
Oh, I thought so Ryan maybe. Like, yeah, so I think they're all Louisiana maybe.
Okay.
I love that she was like, I would never go to a bar that he works at. That's not appropriate.
I know. I think this is my kind of read on this situation is that Flawless Nina thinks that she's a journalist.
Yes.
And like that she has to be this impartial, unbiased person mm-hmm. who's reporting on Gypsy Rose. So if she patrons this bar with Ken and develops a personal relationship with him, that's ethically not okay. Because she is a journalist, but she's not. And yeah. What the fuck? And also, it would actually be good for views.
It would be kind of crazy. Be like, I'm here at the bar, but
she should go live too. I mean, after this, I'm like, I'm tuning in if she's going live to his bar.
I appreciate the integrity that Flawless Nina is holding herself to. So that video that I just showed you, that is what Gypsy Rose was responding to.
Okay, but she's Panini. I get it now. Now I'm like back on board. I'm like, sorry, you're saying that your man wanted to fuck me? It's like my man wanted to fuck you and like that your man wants me, like my man wants me to look like you and all this shit. You are Panini Press, bitch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So at this point, do you feel that Flawless Nina is Panini Pressed?
Yes, absolutely.
I think she was pressed before that video, actually. I was like, Flawless should be delusional, Nina. I'm sorry, but...
But I feel that everyone is Panini pressed in this situation a little bit. Like a lot mm-hmm. of, so, okay.
It's almost like someone dropped like a little bomb down and they were like, everybody grab the fire if you want to go viral. Like everybody take a little piece of it. Let's all play into this. It's so like, people love that drama. And I feel like if you go out of the limelight for a second after having it, you're like, wait, what can I do to get back?
Yeah.
What can I do to get back?
And the things that people do to get back are crazy. And we cover that, like lying about being Amish.
Yes.
fighting people, like flying out to somebody who says they don't like Nicki Minaj and trying to beat their ass. the things that people do to stay in the limelight is scary.
It's scary, but Flawless Nina draws a line at going to this guy's bar.
I know.
I will not actually do that.
Yeah, she's like, I am URL, and you're trying to make this IRL.
Wow.
And we're not doing that. Yeah.
Okay, Millie, that was really good.
Wow.
So this video that
I am I'm a mature woman. This is the internet.
So Gypsy Rose's response was a TikTok story, which is why if you go to her page now, you cannot find the original video. But the video was then posted to Pop Crave's Instagram.
Yeah, you
account,
know someone picked that shit up.
Twitter. Either way, it got 26,000 likes in less than 24 hours. So people, I mean, the video just
I saw it on Twitter, and we played it from Twitter. So.
Yeah, the video immediately popped off. But within a day, it was like one of the most popular audios being shared on TikTok. People are lip syncing to it. Everybody's having a great time. So Nina responds with her own video. We are going watch Nina's response. This isn't the full response, but she did post this to YouTube.
Girl, I don't have a man by choice, but I definitely date. I'm selective. Unlike you, I don't just go for anything and anyone because my perfect choice wouldn't be someone's life aspiration to be a bartender. And also pillow on a stick. Yeah, that's not really my cup of tea. But I can have whoever I want. And they're also not worried that I'd be giving them the DD special. So, do we still feel the same way? And you're so pressed that you made a video. You're definitely pressed. You're definitely concerned. You just made a fool out of yourself. And the fact that you would even acknowledge this just shows exactly how insecure you really are. Bye-bye. Ah!
Okay, so, yeah, that's Flawless Nina's response. The part of the video that I cut off is just her, like live reacting to the Gypsy Rose video. And her thesis is that Gypsy Rose is in fact the one that is Panini pressed.
I'm confused because she's wearing the same outfit.
I know.
From the first video.
The same time. Yeah.
Yeah.
But so I'm like, but then Gypsy Rose, if she did on a story, I'm like, either this woman is repeating outfits. Or she got in her car right at, because I'm
immediately.
Like, immediately, because Gypsy Rose has, I don't know, it looked like it was nighttime when Gypsy, I don't know.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because, like, it is an enormously, it's an enormous volume of videos.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't surprise me for her to see the Gypsy Rose response and then just immediately pop in. And then maybe Gypsy Rose's video seems more like it's at nighttime just because she's got all those filters on
stuff. Yeah, she's laying on a bed, yeah.
Okay, so all of this, we talked a little bit about it, but like, why does Flawless Nina care about Gypsy Rose so much?
Yeah.
It goes back to this main point that it started out that she was advocating for this guy, Nicholas Gojohn. She thinks he's getting an unfair deal in jail, and like, Gypsy Rose gets to be out and she gets to be a social media star. She says that, like, you can tell from his police interview videos that he obviously has some disabilities,
too.
He does not, he's not, yeah.
They made that obvious, too, in the scripted show, in the act, too.
Yeah.
That,
and everything he was, like, on you the can spectrum tell. Or something, yeah. You
know? Yeah. So I think she's like, and honestly, I don't think Flawless Nina is wrong.
No.
It's like, this guy obviously, like, was taken in by someone else who was in a horrible situation. Like, they were obviously both, like, feeding off of each other and, like, not in a good way. And it did end up in the DD special, as she referred to it.
Oh, my God. That was fucked up.
Which is crazy.
I'm glad you reminded me that was the mom's name.
DD is the mom.
Because I was like, I thought that was, like, a... like an Urban Dictionary sex position, yeah. You know, like Dirty Sanchez or something. I'm like, girl, see, I don't even know anything about that.
No, she's referring to the murder.
The
there.
Murder of the mom. Yeah. Okay.
But when she started, I watched one video of her where she's like, it's not about taking down Gypsy. It is about trying to get
justice for
this guy, to get this guy out of jail. And then it kind of started to morph into being more critical of Gypsy Rose, because Gypsy Rose has not been like amenable to people who say that. And she'll allegedly like delete comments from people who make comments about him. Mm. And she is not on the train of like trying to help him. Some people, because I was reading a lot of discussions about this on Reddit, some people say that she literally might not be allowed to engage with anything about him because of like the terms of her parole.
Yeah.
So it could be that. But one of the things that set off Flawless Nina is that Gypsy Rose made a video clapping back at her haters, and someone commented on it and said, Nicholas is a very good cause you could advocate for, the exploitation of special needs adults. I would love to hear you speak on this. And she kind of wrote this long thing in response where she basically said, like,
Gypsy did?
Yeah. She says, I absolutely believe in rights for special needs individuals. My husband is a special education teacher, but I support people that actually have real disabilities that they can't even function in normal society without guidance, so much that they can't even speak because they are so challenged. Those are the individuals that need to be advocated for. Not individuals that claim to have a disability, but know the difference from right and wrong and should be judged by a court of law based on their ability to know right from wrong, which my co-defendant does, and that's why he's still in prison. Mm. The court has every bit of evidence that the public does not. There is a reason why he's still in prison, and it is because he is well aware of his choice, whether the public wants to believe that or not. That is why.
Hmm. So that's a valid response.
I know. I'm like,
I mean, I don't like her like saying
the only people worth disabilities.
Yeah, like, but I mean, in terms of
but in terms of his shit, his stuff. And that's like, also like a big part of being able to get parole and all that stuff is one, admitting that what you did was wrong.
Yeah.
And admitting that, you know, if you could go back, you would do things differently and all that shit. And like having contrition and remorse. And if this guy pled not guilty and all that shit, like, you know, or if she acknowledges like, oh yeah, maybe he didn't know right from wrong or this and that, then like it kind of fucks her shit up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just do wonder if, like, legally there's, like, a kind of party line that she has to take, because that is, like, what she said to get herself out of prison. And also, this was obviously an insanely traumatic and crazy scenario for her. So it's, like, maybe she can't even really... Maybe she's not actually the person to take on advocating for him emotionally, but I don't think that Flawless Nina is wrong that he maybe doesn't have to be in jail for the rest of his life.
Well, also...
Oh, I was just going to say, I don't think Flawless Nina is wrong. I imagine Gypsy Rose, from the moment she got out of jail, got thousands and thousands and thousands of these kinds of messages or DMs, because people are fucking a monster. You know, they can say whatever the fuck they want in a DM. And I feel like we see Flawless Nina because she's like putting it out publicly. She's like, I'm a TikToker, I'm a makeup artist, whatever she does. And I imagine Gypsy Rose Lee, like, she can't respond to all those people. No, you know what I mean? And this one that's keeps going at it, you can't also, if you put it out on paper, you can't really say that this guy deserves to be, you know, not have as long of a sentence or whatever without putting the blame on her. Like, literally, you can't, you know, like, you could say, you know, oh, he didn't know right from wrong, but like, we all saw the story of what happened, and she convinced
it was
this guy.
Two people who
made a bad choice.
And had a lot going on. I do think they did both have to go to jail because they did kill.
Yeah, they did something wrong.
He did also kill, and like he was not even the person who had been necessarily wronged, but just, it's, you know, anti-carceral as I am, we should have grace for people who were in crazy situations. And this woman was, like, perpetrating a lot of harm.
Well, also, like, it's one thing to, like, advocate for, like, the Innocence Project or to do things of, like, her entire social media is like, hey, every time that you guys are consuming Gypsy Rose's stuff, just remember, like, there's a guy who was manipulated and all that stuff.
Right.
That's one thing. She's literally like, your man's a homewrecker, your personal dating life, you're this, you're that.
Ugly.
Your man wants me.
Your man wants to fuck me because he invited me to a bar. That is moves beyond like, oh, this guy was autistic or neurodivergent, so he might not have known whatever her argument is. Mm-hmm. She moved past that. And is now going into, like, personal attacks.
Yeah.
And then it's at the same time.
She leaned in. Remember, she probably did one TikTok. And then she got all these comments being like, fuck that bitch. She made that guy do it. Yeah.
She tried to do a makeup video again. They're like, where's the Gypsy Rose?
Exactly.
And she's like, okay.
And then Gypsy Rose responds because you have literally hundreds of videos. And then she's like, it's the same thing, though, too, where I feel like people do this to, like, this comes up often where it's like a celebrity and all this stuff is like, okay, you don't have to respond to every person. You don't have to whatever. But at the same time, like, these are still human beings and you can't just say crazy shit and expect a celebrity not to say anything back just because they have power and stuff. Okay, just because they have power doesn't mean that, like, you can just... This happened with SZA where this girl was like, I'm at your concert and it sucks. And SZA's like, this is really hurtful. Like, what the hell? And the girl's like, why are you even talking to me? Like, you're so famous and I'm nobody, blah, blah, blah. And SZA's like, because I'm a human being and you're sending me this shit. And, like, that's not okay.
Yeah.
Please delete this. And the girl's like, no. So it's, and then she's like, can you believe that SZA, that was a, whatever.
It's but on I'm the same plane the same as like all the celebrity apology videos or like divorce announcements or like they're in another plane where like they want to do something, but mm-hmm. they don't necessarily know how. They're like also being coached by other people and like.
And getting an enormous amount of unsolicited feedback. And
Gypsy Rose is not that. She is not a fucking like Oscar actor, Grammy artist. Like she literally was. She came out of jail.
She was smoking cigarettes at a 7-Eleven with this guy who works at a bar.
Yeah.
Like, so she's...
That just is kind of... So, I guess the ultimate point that I wanted to bring us to before we head into Grasshole and Anna finds out
Thank you so much. Sorry, I questioned it. I will be sorry forever.
Is that I do feel that both sides are panini pressed to a degree.
Oh, yes. For sure.
But I feel that Flawless Nina... You can't engage with Gypsy Rose in this way. Gypsy Rose is not okay.
Yeah.
like, you are a person. I don't know a ton of Flawless Nina's backstory, but, like, you were not kept in a fake, like, hell of disease because your mom had Munchausen's by proxy, and then you, like, created a murder scheme, and then you went to jail and are just... kind of only a couple months out because Gypsy Rose got out of jail in like March.
She was in jail for like 10 years or something.
Yeah, so I just been like, you can have it whatever, however you feel about this story. You can advocate for this guy, which I think is actually good. If you want to be critical of Gypsy Rose in general, I guess you can do that, but you cannot engage with Gypsy Rose in this way.
Like she's treating her like a housewife. Like, you're like, it goes on TV to bring drama to a scene, and she's like acting as if like this girl can handle this shit. Like, I can fucking tear her down.
It's not a level playing field to be like beefing with Gypsy Rose when you're just like a regular person and
she's had like regular life. And kind of the whole thing with Gypsy Rose, like the sad part was like, because her mom was constantly making her do shit, she didn't have friends.
Yeah.
She couldn't like go to a friend's birthday party. She couldn't like hang out. She couldn't go to the playground. Like everything.
She couldn't like order a pizza and like watch, you know, her own show. Like her mom was on her back.
Yeah. And then she, after that, went to jail again for legitimate reasons, but it's like, her socialization is not where it's at if you're just like a regular person who went to public school and like has a TikTok and stuff. So like for that reason, I say, Flawless Nina, you must back down.
Yeah, back down.
Your beef with Gypsy Rose. Yeah.
I will say though, considering when we say all of that, I'm like, damn, Gypsy Rose though, like, is very likable on any video on the internet, and like she seems like, oh, she's like a girl you in a sorority. Like she seems like a girl you would like. Know and like at some point in your life, even though she went through all that shit.
I'm like, she's relatable, she's doing remarkably fun. Well.
Yeah, like she's not even doing like the Anna Delvey track where she's like aligning herself. She's just still trying to be like relatable and fun. And it's like, yeah, I want to get a job at Sephora. Like, I'm gonna like,
I want to have boyfriends.
Yeah,
have boyfriends that are frankly like normal looking. Yeah. Like. Not get with the biggest, you know, their clout chasers in their own way. But like, yeah, you know what I mean? It's not like she's, I don't know. There is something real and relatable to her about her.
Yeah.
Aside from the one thing, she's not really doing anything bad.
Right.
Besides aside from kind of the one really big
thing. Aside from that, like, reason she went to jail. Yeah. Like, that one little thing.
Well, yeah. Okay. Now we go to our segment, Grasshole of the Week,
woo,
where we pick one person,
okay,
to go online who needs to get offline and go touch grass.
Love it.
And we nominate one person who needs to touch grass the most.
Yeah.
Now, so that is what grasshole is.
Thank mm-hmm. you.
Well, Flawless Nina would have been a great grasshole.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It was
but
good.
We had to speak about the larger.
Gypsy Rose. Yeah. We had to talk about Gypsy Rose. So it's okay. So I just want to say, I like to pride myself on my fresh perspective into things that we report. You know, being a woman of color, an Afro-Latina, it really helps shape the lens to, like, with what I bring into Grass Nation and mm-hmm. what I bring to Grass Nation.
Yes.
We talk about it all the time. Our FYPs are different. Mm-hmm. I like to talk about things that are happening on Black Twitter and all that stuff.
I talk about kind of, like, Harry Potter related.
And, like, musical shit.
Musical stuff related. People just, like, nerd shit. Yeah, nerd like, really dorky yeah, work, that. White person stuff.
Yeah.
I got a lot of pasta, nails.
Yeah. No. Yeah. And I talk about, you know, kind of more like urban culture and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So
equally valuable
people,
stuff.
Yeah, equally valuable stuff.
You guys on Chicken Caesar rap TikTok? Anybody?
No. but this is all premising. Also, another thing about me, which I've also talked about, which also helps shape the stories I pick, is that I did study anthropology and sociology in mm-hmm. college. And, you know, in another dimension, I'd be a sociologist. So that
I'm coming.
I'm up. Thank you.
But comedy called.
But comedy called it. Oh boy, I wish I hung up. So I'm coming into this week's grasshole with that lens of, like, I bring in fresh perspectives, and I also have this sociology thing, because this week's grasshole goes so deep into the abyss of white women culture.
Oh no.
That it's like similar to the movie Inception, where there are so many layers to it. The viewer isn't sure what is real, what is not. Mm. Is the top toppling? We don't know. The grasshole this week is writer Anne Hamilton.
Okay.
Who wrote a piece so crazy, people were shocked it wasn't in the cut. It broke Twitter for hours. She wrote a piece in GQ titled, I Finally Befriended My Idol, Tavi Gevinson. Would it fall apart over Taylor Swift?
Okay.
That's the title?
That's the title.
Wow.
Wow. There's like so much already so that's much rich
already
in there.
Yeah,
that really, they gave a lot in the title.
And we're going to keep going, guys, because if I did this, you have to too.
Yep. Okay.
For years, the writer Annie Hamilton yearned to get close to Tavi Gevinson. This is the synopsis of the article. For years, the writer Annie Hamilton yearned to get close to Tavi Gevinson. When she finally found an opening, her history of self-sabotage and a vexing link to a certain world-famous pop star threatened to derail the relationship before it had ever really started. Could she write a happy ending to this platonic love story?
Wow.
Okay.
So in it, she talks about this girl named Tavi Gevinson.
Yes.
Have you guys heard of Tavi?
Yes.
I have heard of Tavi Gevinson, but we should probably give the listeners.
Yeah, you've heard of her? Okay.
Yes.
Again, this is white women's sociology. Never heard of this woman.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah,
like,
no.
Don't know who the fuck she is. I'm like,
what? She's like a teenage it girl.
Yeah, girl, rookie mag.
Yes. Yes, okay.
I know.
I didn't know any of this shit.
And then she, like, went to Broadway, I think. And, became a real actor. Yeah.
Okay, well, Tavi Gevinson, born April 21st, 1996, is an American actress, writer, and magazine editor. At age 12, she came to public attention for her fashion blog, Style Rookie. By 15, she had shifted her focus to pop culture and feminist discussion. Gevinson began acting in 2013 and later starred in the HBO Max series Gossip Girl. She starred in the HBO reboot.
Oh.
Gevinson was the founder and editor-in-chief of Rookie, aimed primarily at teenage girls. The blog, featuring photos of the 11-year-old in distinctive outfits and her commentary on her latest fashion trend, began drawing 30,000 readers a day.
Damn.
Because of the blog's success, Gevinson was allowed to attend New York Fashion Week, Paris Fashion Week. She made overseas fashion-related trips to Tokyo and Antwerp, funded by Pop Magazine, and was commissioned to write articles for Harper's Bazaar and Barney's. She styled a shoe for Black Book Magazine, acted as a muse for a model for Rada Tears clothing line at Target stores, and partnered with Borders and Frontiers to design and sell her own t-shirt. In 2010, she spoke at a marketing conference in New York City at the Idea City, a Canadian version of the TED conference. So
that is anyone else feeling bad about themselves?
Yeah,
right now?
I'm like, okay. I'm like,
well,
that's a career.
At 12. I'm like, yeah. Okay, amazing.
Well, so Annie wrote in the article, she wrote, I first heard about Tavi Givenson's name at a breakfast I attended on the Upper West Side in 2010. A group of mothers were talking about her, seemingly with some envy. I was confused. Upper West Side moms aren't supposed to be jealous of 14-year-olds.
I mean, absolutely for sure. If you're
I saw Tavi Givenson wearing flip-flops and army pants, I was. Yeah.
I mean, it's like, it is weird for you to be an adult and you're jealous of a 14-year-old.
Yes. This whole thing is fucking weird, and that's why I'm talking about it.
Yeah.
Basically, the whole article is really cringe, and it's about how Annie was obsessed with Tavi. And they finally crossed paths at a dinner party a few years ago. And Annie was trying to be cool in front of a lot of sweat. And she describes this dinner party like everyone was so smart. Everyone was so well read and all this stuff. And they were talking about things and articles they read. And Anne was feeling intimidated. And she was like, Anne was like, well, I'm a dumbass, so I read the cut. And Tavi turns to someone and says, Tony, congrats on being promoted to editor of the cut.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
And Annie was so embarrassed. And she was like, wow. And then she's like, the rest of the night, I just spent like talking about sex stories because that's all I had to offer. And she's like, okay. Then 2 years later. But so she was obsessed with Tavi. Tavi is her, like, you know, idol and all this stuff. And she has so much success and she tried to impress her. It flopped. Then 2 years later, they reconnected again.
Okay.
And she's like, I really want to be this girl's friend. I really want to be this girl's friend. So 2 years later, they went in a party. They hit it off. And Anne is like, we should write something together.
Ooh.
And this is where Tavi is like, well, I have a zine.
Mm-hmm.
So this is an excerpt from the thing. Writing might be the perfect way for us to understand each other better. And frankly, I thought it might make her like me more. So I suggested we write an article together. She suggested that I review her zine, fan fiction, that would be published online. It was an imagined friendship with Taylor Swift that would be very loosely based on her own brief interactions with the pop star.
Okay.
And this is what I mean about layers. Anne is obsessed with Tavi and wants to be her friend.
Okay.
So Tavi asked Anne to review Tavi's 76-page zine called Fan Fiction, where Tavi talks about wanting to be Taylor Swift's friend.
Wow. Okay. So, I see what you're saying.
I think
about
we're gonna need like a Venn diagram.
Like a Venn diagram.
Yeah.
So Tavi is a cool girl. Anne's obsessed with Tavi. Tavi's obsessed with Taylor Swift. Tavi writes a zine, like basically a 76-page something. That's like how, like, kind of novel kind of thing about like how she would be friends with Taylor Swift.
Wow.
Okay.
And whatever, right? Okay. So let's put yourself in Annie's shoes. There's a person, a girl or a peer that you're obsessed with, has a great career, and you know, you want to work with them, and they ask you, oh, you can do this one thing. What would you do?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh yeah. I would absolutely help her with the 76-page Taylor Swift fan fiction.
Review it and then leave it right. Yeah.
Yeah. Do a little beta read on that.
This is what Anne wrote. I agreed, but immediately wish I hadn't.
Mm.
There are 5 Taylor Swift songs that are extremely meaningful to me, but for some reason, I'm not that interested in all of the cultural critiques of her. Sometimes I like seeing what she's up to in paparazzi photos, but mostly I just like listening to those 5 songs. Weeks went by. I had a terrible manic episode. I was the only one who wasn't aware that I was having a terrible manic episode.
That's how that goes.
I didn't read the zine. I couldn't bring myself to read the zine. So basically what happens is she finally gets her idol to fucking ask her to do something. Extend this girl's hand. Like, I actually hate it, or I don't like Taylor Swift that much and didn't do what she said she was going
to
do.
But I guess my thing is, like, does she have to like Taylor Swift that much to like,
no,
it's a review of the, yeah.
No, it doesn't, thing. But she like,
but was, she had the breakdown.
She yeah. had the breakdown and she was just so stopped. Yeah. So it comes to the point where Tavi had to call Anne and be like, hey, what the fuck? You said you were going to review this and you didn't. And
where's my
Anne,
fan fiction?
Where's my review? And Anne was like, hey, could we do something else? Like, I really like you, but I just only listen to 5 Taylor Swift songs. And Tavi was like, no, I want you to review. I really want people to read the zine, and having somebody else write about it
yeah.
would help me get people to read it. So mm-hmm. can't you just do the thing that you said? And then finally, after all of that, after she was guilted by her idol, she said that she read it. And this is what she said. She said, but I couldn't stop thinking about the last act of fan fiction in which Tavi imagines her own correspondence with Taylor, in which Taylor and Tavi battle for crowd control over their own narratives. Tavi's writing as Taylor made me laugh out loud, a real cackle. Not only do Tavi and Taylor disagree on what happened between them on specific memories, but they also fight to be individuals. They wrestle with how to both admire and disagree with each other. It's my favorite part of the zine because it's a fascinating account of Tavi and Taylor's fictional battle for narrative control. I began to get self-conscious about this idea. Was I writing this piece just to please Tavi? Was it stupid of me to promote her zine by emulating its style? Would my mimicry actually disappoint her? Would she feel sucked up to, or worse, swindled somehow? I decided to send her my draft. She responded right away. So this is what Anne sent to Tavi. Truly, to be honest, if you hate, okay, done. Hard to read about yourself is what I mean. So that's the email that she sent with the draft.
So that's Anne
sending
talking to
Tavi saying, hey, I wrote a review of your thing. Mm-hmm, finally, mm-hmm. I really liked it. But like, this is how she wrote to, and then Tavi wrote like, hey, thanks for doing this. Just a few corrections, like, please don't publish that I want people to read the zine, like, it's gonna look desperate.
Yeah.
Two, I didn't, like, make you feel, I didn't, like, yell at you
right.
at a thing. I just wanted you to stop embarrassing yourself, like, you were talking shit about the cut, and somebody was there from the cut.
Yeah. I was actually kind of, like, being a good, honestly, like, a girl's girl in a way where it's like, oh, you don't realize you're talking shit about this yeah. person. Let me, like, introduce them loudly yes. so that you know yeah. that
it's like
this
a Curb Your Enthusiasm episode.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's just, like, it's put in your face and you're like,
yeah.
And basically she's like, yeah, and just don't publish these things. But what the girl does is publish the emails
that
Tavi's, like, in which she says, don't do these things.
I mean, the red flag from the start was, I'm obsessed with Tavi Davidson.
I know. It's like...
Yes. So the reactions on Twitter are crazy. So let me just read a few. But it says, as an editor, is there ever a point you go, are you sure you want to say this under your name? Like, what are the ethics of keeping someone from publishing the next insane essay? Mm. And then somebody else tweeted, how insane can this article actually be? I thought, minutes before gasping aloud several times. Yeah. This is really mean, but I think if you're going to do a haha, I'm absolutely bananas and I know it thing, you need to make sure you're charming. Otherwise, it kind of clunks. Say what you want. Say you what you will, but Tavi asked the author to review the zine because she wanted more readers, and this article is going to bring an avalanche of new readers. That's a straightforward review that a straightforward review would never have. Mm. And Jeremiah says, oh my God, ending the article with, also she told me not to print the following things with zero reflection about printing them. Somebody else said, some woman would rather write essays than go to therapy. Mm. And then somebody else said, this might be the most insane essay ever. So, yes. So, go touch grass to Tavi Gevinson for writing a 76-page fan fiction yeah. about being friends with Taylor Swift. Go touch grass about this girl who wrote fan fiction about the fan fiction and saying yeah. like, wow, she's intimidated by Taylor Swift, but I'm intimidated by her. But then also write an essay about how you fucking completely fumbled the bag.
Yeah.
I just think that everyone needs to go on offline and yeah. like talk to somebody and know how to be a human being. And I'll wait for your reactions and reflections.
I mean, I agree with everything that you said. I think it's extremely funny. So this fan fiction thing hasn't come out yet?
Oh, it came out. I couldn't get past the first three paragraphs.
Okay.
I couldn't click on the fan fiction.
No, I mean, it's probably, they are the person who said, like, this is the best advertising, this weird seven, because I...
It is true. Anything negative will bring more.
Yeah, exactly. It's definitely going to bring more viewers to that. Because I actually don't understand who the target audience was for that prior to this article coming out. Like, I don't really understand why anyone would want to read it as it was described. Like, the fake argument at the end between Tavi and Taylor. I'm like, what is this?
Yeah. I got to be honest. Part of me, my brain was thinking, do these people need to make rent? Like, do they have jobs? Like the fact that she was able to, like, dedicate this much time and effort into this article, you know, after reading the fan fiction and then, like, writing it and then, like, throwing Tavi under the bus, which is kind of, she was obsessed with her. She wanted to meet her. Tavi gave her, extended a branch and said, hey, here's something I'm working on. Let's see how you do on this.
Yeah.
Had she just done it, right, and not, like,
done this,
procrastinated or whatever, and not done it. Yeah, that would have led to maybe something else.
Yeah, even if she just, if like, whatever, she had a manic episode, she's like, hey, I'm sorry, but I'm getting to it now, and then made the edits, like, that would have been fine. But it's very funny to be like, actually, this friendship that I've been pursuing, I'm gonna blow it up so that completely. I can, like, write a crazy article.
Yeah,
where I look insane.
And throw Taylor Swift in the fire. Yeah, and be like, it's only like five songs, so I don't think I'm the right person for this. Like, it's also, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, I'm like, why? I don't think you have to be a Taylor Swift expert to, maybe you're not gonna love the fan fiction, but, like, you can just read it and be like, hey, this made sense or didn't make sense. Like, if it's an editor type.
She was probably so scared to, like, say anything to her or do anything to her. You know what I mean? That this was the only way she, like, got out of it. And then she realized, I fucked up so bad, I might as well just, like, expose this now and get myself out there.
Yeah, but go touch grass.
But go touch grass.
Because you look fucking crazy. It's one of those things. It's the $50,000 in a shoebox thing.
Yeah, which was in the cut.
Which was in the cut.
What was that?
Oh, see, you gotta
listen. It reminded me of the girl who wrote the article about Caroline Calloway.
Yes.
I don't know if that was the kind. Yes.
This was like a lady who got scammed and wrote an article about how she was scammed and put $50,000 in a shoebox, and, like, the article made her look extremely dumb.
Oh, okay.
She fell for just kind of one of those, you know, people call you and it's like scam likely, and she answered and then went.
She answered. She put $50,000 in a shoebox. And then, but then the whole article was like, I can't believe me.
She was like, I'm too smart for this. It's like, seems no, like you're not. Seems like you did it. So
no, you're not. So, I mean, you can read again the 76-page.
That was juicy. Fiction. I loved it.
Yeah. I'm just going to read two sentences from it.
Okay.
Her nostalgia is not just personal, but cultural. For things she didn't experience in eras she did not live through. She said her early albums were based on ideas of love for movies and novels, as she had not yet been in a real relationship. Her music inherited only not these forms of fantasies of love, but their narrative devices. So this is for somebody, but not for me.
Yeah, no, it's not even for me. And I'm literally flying to Poland to see the Eras Tour in Warsaw. But I don't need all that.
Yeah.
Well, because I think when you're, like, a fan of an artist or something, like, you don't care what other people really feel about that. Like, you have your own personal relationship with them. I don't know.
With the five songs.
I think that this, the Venn diagram, the people who would be into fan fiction are people who are Taylor Swift fans, but also, like, book talk, like, people who are literary and, like, kind of want to, they can't allow themselves, or they want to understand
the phenomenon or something,
or just, like, it just feels like people who, like, can't allow themselves to just, like, they like a pop artist, but they want to have, like, a deeper meaning to it and have it to be, like, this big cultural significance that is studied and stuff, instead of being like, I like her songs and they're catchy. They're like, oh, what does this friendship mean about me and, like, all this stuff, and, like, have this whole deep thing. And it's like, because they just can't be like, well, I don't want to be like every other basic person that likes whatever. I have to have this whole deeper thing. And it's like, it's fine to just like the catchy songs.
Fan fiction about pop stars is a whole other like world of fan fiction that I've never really engaged with. But there's a deep history of fan fiction about pop stars.
Yeah.
One Direction has a ton of fan fiction.
Yeah. That's what the idea of you is based
that movie,
on
the Anne Hathaway movie with Nicholas Galitzine, it's based on a Harry Styles fan fiction.
Wow. You should watch it.
I've heard it's good.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. Sex scenes are good.
It's cute.
It's not Bridgerton hot, but it's not. No. They're not fucking on a chassé.
I have to tell you, Millie, it's Chase.
Chase. I've said it 50 times too. I appreciate that. Thank you for calling me in.
You know, the thing is, I feel I have like very high standards for when I correct a pronunciation. No, that's good. But I said if it's happening again, I'm gonna say it's
okay.
It's
but I like chassé.
I think Chase gets the spirit of what it is more than
Chase. I'm like, Chase Lounge, that sounds like a fucking airport. Yeah. Like, you're in the Chase Lounge next to Terminal 3. No, bitch, I get fucked on a Chase Lounge. A Chase Lounge. Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
Anna, where can we find you besides Alec Baldwin's block list?
No!
Where can we find you online?
You can find me anywhere at Anna Roisman, A-N-N-A-R-O-I-S-M-A-N. I also have a podcast called Big Wigs with my friend Andrea Lopez. Mm-hmm. And we do a lot of impressions and voices and stupid shit, and it's so fun. That's all I got. Oh, come see me live this summer. I'll be at Joe's Pub August 15th.
Woo!
I
got
a couple dates before then, but... yeah.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
And as always, guys, you can find the podcast at Go Touch Grass Pod on everything. You can find me at Pandalise on Instagram and Elise Navidad on TikTok.
You can find me at Millie_Tamaris on Instagram and Millie_Tamaris on TikTok and at Millie Tamaris on Twitter. I'm still there. You guys, please check out our latest and greatest
Patreon
episode. We talked again about if the Kardashians are in the flop area, and then this week we talked about that girl who said the N-word that got fired and is trying to be a right-wing commentator.
Yeah, we debuted a new kind of episode variant called Cancel Watch.
Yeah, Cancel Watch.
And she's being canceled. So all that's up on the Patreon, and until next time,
go touch grass!
That was a HeadGum Podcast.